Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Klass as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, and hear from the minds transforming healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more with the help of AI. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, welcome to Stuff to Blow Your Mind. My name is Robert Lamb.
And I'm Julie Douglas.
Julie, do you remember the masked magician from Breaking the Magician's Code, Magic's Biggest Secret Finally Revealed?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You don't?
No.
Oh. Well, this was on TV all the time back in the day. Particularly, this was like, especially 97, 98, and probably, you know, reruns thereafter. But it was this magician, and he wore this mask because he was like a rogue illusionist. This particular show, he was going to come on, he was going to do sort of a staple magic trick, and then he was going to expose how it was done. And he was having to hide his identity so that the Magician's Guild wouldn't, you know, fire him, destroy him, lock him in a casket and sink him into the ocean kind of a deal. But I remember even then thinking this guy was kind of a jerk. And, you know, because he's coming along and he's like, oh, you think it is magic? I'm going to kill the magic for you. And I could easily imagine him showing up in his mask at other events to destroy the magic of other things. Like, you know, he could do a whole series of specials where it's like Breaking the Puppeteer's Code, Puppeteering's Biggest Secrets Finally Revealed, you know, and just going down through the list.
The Puppeteer's secrets.
Yeah.
They sit on tiny stools.
Yeah, they're wearing all black. But no, that... that was the first thing that came to mind when we were talking about doing an episode on magic, on the science of illusion.
Well, that there are people who say, let's not reveal the magic. And in fact, one of the reasons why we're talking about this is because there was a great article that came out talking about Teller of Penn and Teller.
Mm-hmm.
And his...
Penn is the quiet one.
Teller's the quiet one.
That's what I meant. Yeah, Teller's the quiet one.
Yeah.
Penn is the loud one.
And he has been lately... he has been talking about these secrets that they employ. But the thing here is that I think of it as meta magic. I mean, they have always been pretty forthright with their audience. Like, we are telling you the secrets behind what we're doing, and yet we are still going to fool you. We are still going to pull this magic trick off, and you're not going to really know.
Yeah, I do like the way that Penn and Teller tend to handle it, because, first of all, it's not a, oh, I'm going to totally expose the magic here. Some secret's about to be revealed. Prepare to have your dreams crushed. Like, it's not about that. Like, they're really bringing, and it's also not a sense of, in the case of the masked magician, you don't get the sense that it's like a magician that had some bills to pay and was like, all right, well, this is a gimmick I'm going to do.
Yeah.
Like, Penn and Teller are all about really explaining how magic works because they love magic, because there is there's some really amazing stuff going on beneath the surface of the illusion. Not only is the illusion amazing, but the way the illusion toys with our perception of reality, that's amazing too. And they're all about sharing that. But then at the same time, they're all about using these secrets that they share as misdirection in a magic trick. So, yeah, it gets really meta really fast.
Yeah, because they're basically saying, we're totally going to fool you. This is how we're going to fool you. And yet, this is still going to happen. And for people who don't know Penn and Teller, let me describe them. Penn, as you say, is the one who speaks. He's kind of, you know, audacious. He's 6'7". He went to clowning school, by the way.
Did he?
Yeah. And he is usually the person who's talking about what sort of trick they're going to do and sort of ushering that in, while Teller usually executes the trick and is the quiet one.
Yeah, he
never talks.
He's just kind of a miming
in the act.
Style. Yeah, in the act.
Yeah. And I guess you could call it kind of highbrow magic in a way that they really are sort of asking you to they're asking you to be critical, to be analytical, and yet they are obfuscating your critical thinking.
Yeah, they're
skills.
Very much in the vein of the Amazing Randy, who of course, in addition to being a magician, has this whole organization is built up. They have the prize, I think it's like $1 million. Could be wrong on that.
Okay.
But a huge cash prize for people who can prove that they have psychic abilities.
Yeah.
And Randy, to a large extent, also follows on the footsteps of Houdini, who, in addition to being an accomplished illusionist, was also really into exposing frauds who were taking advantage of people who had lost loved ones and were using, like, seance environments and various tricks to toy with people's emotions and loosen their purse strings. So, yeah, that's kind of the mold of these guys as well, because they had that long-running show... to use the censored version.
Oh, yeah.
Where they would talk about various things, often controversial things.
They're skeptics.
Yeah, they're skeptics, and they bring that skeptic viewpoint into analyzing all these topics, but they also bring a fun skepticism into their magic.
Yeah, and so we're going to talk about how we can break down the magic here a little bit with science and how they actually do that as well, particularly Teller. Again, he wrote an article for Smithsonian Magazine telling people how he does it. And we're going to talk about why magicians are like camouflage designers of the mind. We talked about camouflage and some of the same subterfuges going on in camouflage patterns as these magic acts. But first, let's talk about the New York Times article, Science of Illusion, by Alex Stone. He ushers in the article by talking about a coin trick, a really simple coin trick. So he says, okay, pinch a coin at its edge between thumb and first fingers of your right hand and begin to place it in your left palm without letting go.
I'm doing that now.
Okay. Begin to close the fingers of the left hand.
Okay.
Okay. The instant the coin is out of sight, extend the last three digits of your right hand and secretly retract the coin. Presumably that means, like, put it in a little...
Okay.
Space in.
So the last three are kind of they're kind of serving as a cover, like a shield.
Right, right. Well, also it's making it look like it's dropped in. You're freeing your fingers from the coin,
okay.
But at the same time you're depositing that coin, let's say, right inside your sleeve.
Okay.
And then he says, secretly retract the coin. Make a fist with your left hand as if holding the coin, as your right hand palms the coin and drops to the side.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then you're going to reproduce that coin later. All right. What they say in this article is that this is a great example of something called retention vanish. This is the illusion of a false transfer. And it happens when there's a lag in the brain's perception of motion called persistence of vision. So the audience will actually see, this is the crazy thing, the audience will actually see the coin in left palm for a split second after the hands separate. And this is because your visual neurons don't stop firing once a given stimulus, here the coin, is no longer present. So your brain, again, we talked about this great pattern recognition machine, makes that coin appear because you have the visual neurons still being stimulated. So what they're saying is that our perception of reality lags behind reality about 1/100th of a second. And this is what magicians are exploiting.
Wow, it's really interesting in that we also recorded an episode today on camouflage, which either just came out before this one or will come out next. And there's a lot of overlap between these two topics. And mm-hmm. camouflage, you are toying with pattern recognition a lot of the time and using distraction and misdirection to fool a potential enemy.
Mm-hmm.
And in magic, we see a similar thing. Here we're exploiting pattern recognition. We're exploiting the lag in perception and reality.
Yeah, and this is where the cognitive bias comes in, right? Mm-hmm. And we can say that cognitive bias can be traced to evolution, to our ancestors, because missing a pattern was much more dangerous than seeing a pattern
right.
that wasn't there, right? So that's kind of why we're hardwired like that. So if magicians can tweak the patterns enough, then you can lead the brain to cognitive bias. And that's where we're constructing this false logic for ourselves. And as you say, they're employing not just the a pattern sort of falling into the background and us accepting that the coin has been transferred, but also this idea of dazzle as well, and this idea of distraction.
Yes.
Okay, so absurdism, humor always comes into play with magicians for a really good reason.
Yeah, I found this really fascinating because, on one hand, it's pretty obvious. You're going to use basic misdirection. You're not looking at the coin. You're going to look at the assistant's skimpy outfit, or mm-hmm. you're not looking at the thing that's about to disappear. You're looking at the elaborate prop. You're not looking at the handcuffs on the guy. You're looking at this enormous vat of water that they're being immersed in.
Right.
So you end up focusing on the spectacle and not necessarily on the small detail upon which the entire trick hinges.
Mm-hmm.
And so you're taking in this environment. You're working it out in your head. What's about to happen? You have expectations of what's going to happen. Throw in some absurdity. Throw in some humor, and they find that laughter disables your ability to think critically for at least a moment.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been observing this recently, playing this this card game called Cabo. We'll pull this out with friends, and it's a very simple memory game. You can look it up online. It's like I think they used to sell it on Etsy. It's got one of the cards has a rainbow, has a unicorn puking a rainbow. So it's that kind of fun little game. But you end up having several people sit around, and you don't know what your cards are necessarily. Mm-hmm. You get peeks of them, and you have to memorize it. Other people are memorizing their cards, trying to keep track of cards that are moving. And inevitably, if you have some fun people playing, somebody's going to crack a joke, somebody's going to say something amusing, or something is going to happen, and then you totally don't remember where anything is.
Right. It's the distraction there.
So throw that out in a magic trick. So it's like people think they're smart. Oh, I wonder where that coin is. Then they throw in a fart joke, and you're good to go. Like, reset the entire memory.
Well, and Teller says that they all immediately follow a trick with a joke mm-hmm. every single time. And that's exactly because they're manipulating that part of your brain. I want to go down real quick his seven things that he does.
Okay.
To defraud an audience. One, which we already talked about, exploit pattern recognition.
Okay.
Two, make the secret a lot more troublesome than the trick seems worth.
Yeah, overly complex tricks.
Yeah, like, for instance, he said that for an appearance on David Letterman, for 2 weeks they trained themselves to work with these cockroaches, 200 of them, really mm-hmm. slow moving so that they would not, skitter off when they got their camera time. They created some styrofoam thing that works really well with roaches to crawl on, and then they inserted it into this hat. Mm-hmm. And, really, seriously, and he said that, they worked with an animal trainer or this entomologist, day after day so that they wouldn't scream like little girls when they had to handle the roaches, his words. And so that is a lot of trouble for that trick, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So the reason is because he says you have to create some sort of simulacrum of reality that people can buy into.
Mm-hmm.
Number three, he says...
Which, by the way, that kind of ties into our discussions of fiction and reality. The idea that you have a scene where something fantastic is going to happen. Say James Bond wrestles a squid, but earlier in the book he's making coffee or he's having a steak.
Right. You're setting up this illusion of reality. That, and again, the buying into thing, this mm-hmm. this idea, this narrative that we're buying into. Number three, hard to think critically if you're laughing. Four, keep the trickery outside the frame. So he's talking about, if you pick a card out of a 52 deck
mm-hmm.
or a 52 card deck, if he's taking off his jacket and throwing it outside the frame of what's mm-hmm. going on, that's diverting your attention because he's doing something right then, right? Some sort of sleight of hand. Five, to fool the mind, combine at least two tricks. We'll talk about that in a little bit. And he says, number six, nothing fools you better than the lie you tell yourself. And this is something that he means that you come to discover on your own. The magician lets you discover a truth on your own.
Ah, yeah.
Plants it, really. Number seven, if you're given a choice, you believe you have acted freely. That, I think, is fascinating. We'll talk about that, too.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
But that's kind of how he goes about these tricks. And that's when we talk about cognitive bias happening. And that's because your brain is telling you all these things. It's making up a story. It's creating the pattern. And misdirection becomes a really key item for a magician.
Yeah, like I say, misdirection is all about diverting the viewer's attention from mm-hmm. the often trivial-looking thing or the small detail upon which the entire trick or illusion rather is hinging.
Mm-hmm.
So again, that's why you have I mean, part of it, of course, is its performance, and performance needs to be visually amusing. But you have all these elements in a magic trick that that are distracting. You have a beautiful assistant that's skimpily dressed. You have magnificent props. You have explosions and fire and slashing swords and musical accompaniment and lighting effects. It reminds me a lot too of how a really well-done haunted house is put together, because even that is about the scares there are about misdirection if they're done right. It's about, let's get you looking over here, and then something will come from this direction. Let's have you thinking about what the place sounds like, and then we'll shock you with what the place feels like, that kind of thing.
I have a good real-life example of this.
Okay.
It was, an inadvertent magic trick, and it was, how do you hide a half-naked woman in plain view?
Okay.
Okay. So, World Science Festival, I'm walking down 12th Street.
Oh, yes. Okay.
Yeah. I'm going to one of the venues, and I'm passing in front of this church, or I'm approaching this church. On my left, wedding party is on the stairs of the church.
Mm-hmm.
On the right of the sidewalk, the bride is about to get out of the car.
Mm-hmm.
Coming forward is a woman in jean shorts and no shirt or bra on. She's just walking down the street, because it's New York and people do that, right? And what I found amazing and made me feel completely insane, like I was the only person, I think, actually, who noticed, is that as she is crossing in front of the wedding party on the stairs, none of them look at her because they're all looking at the bride coming out of the car. And I'm thinking about this. Did they not see this half-naked woman pass right in front of them?
Hmm.
And that is how this is very similar to a magic trick, right?
Mm-hmm.
That how could you hide this, you know, thing that should be really obvious, and it's that misdirection.
Huh.
Anyway.
Well, it makes me think. I feel like there have been some like bank heist movies where they've used that, where it's like, let's have a sexy lady over here, and then the guard doesn't notice and they slip by him. And it also ties into my longstanding theory that you could potentially rob a bank with a basket of kittens. Like, if you were just to bring them in and, like, place them on the table, and people are going to be transfixed by the kittens, and they'll be like, oh, my goodness. And then they'll touch the kittens, and they're like, they're so soft, I can feel their heart. And then you just sort of slip by. And
I can feel their heart.
You know how you feel them? They're so warm. They're like little.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Aw.
Yeah.
All right.
But, no, you could totally rob a bank with them. That's my
prediction.
I just
see something horrible happening to the kittens, I have to say, in that scenario.
No.
You can't bring a basket full of kittens into a robbery scenario expect one of them to be splatted.
The only downside I see is that eventually that basket of kittens will have to testify in court. So they'll be like up on the witness stand, there'll be a basket of kittens and, you know, really abusive lawyers coming in and really trying to grill them on the stand. And they're kittens, so they're just completely out of it.
And there's your next Pixar film.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It would work.
The bandit kittens. All right. So one of the things that Teller was talking about is to fool the mind, combine at least two tricks.
Yes.
I wanted to talk about that because he says that every night in Las Vegas, I make a children's ball come to life like a trained dog. My method, the thing that fools your eyes, is to puppeteer the ball with a thread too fine to be seen from the audience. But during the routine, the ball jumps through a wooden hoop several times, and that seems to rule out the possibility of a thread. The hoop is what magicians call misdirection, a second trick that proves the first. The hoop is genuine, but the deceptive choreography I used took 18 months to develop. Again, see number two, more trouble than it's worth.
It also, I can't help but think of a fiction in this case, too. Take one idea that's really cool, take another idea that's really cool, combine them,
mm-hmm.
And if you do it in the right way, no one will necessarily notice that all you did was, say, take the pacing for this classic novel,
mm-hmm.
and simply infuse it with whatever this trend happens to be.
Right. The idea is not to see the underpinnings bursting underneath, right? Teller is also talking about independent verification. So he says when he cuts the cards, like he mm-hmm. does a magic trick with cards. I think he says like the worst uncle magic trick you can imagine. He says, I let you glimpse a few faces, and then you conclude the deck contains 52 different cards. Again, pattern recognition.
Yeah, but who's actually going to sit there and look at them, right? I mean, it's just...
Well, you go through, all you need is a couple, right?
Yeah.
You say, oh, okay. But when in fact he's actually taken those three cards and replicated a full deck...
Yeah.
By taking 18 different decks of cards and taking out those three cards.
Yeah.
Or that cases, he's always going to get one of those three cards.
Yeah, also cases where the magician, you know, is allowing individuals who are participating in the trick to handle objects that are involved, to touch the cards, to touch the hoop, to touch the wand, whatever is being used to verify that it is not gimmicked.
Right, and you think, too, that you've made a choice, right?
Yeah.
You've made a choice. You took that card, and this was of your, you know, this of 52 different cards, and this was the decision that you made, and so then you feel like you have some skin in the game, right?
Yeah.
And what Teller says is that if you are given a choice, you believe you have acted freely. This is one of the darkest of all psychological secrets. And he actually does a little political action and points back to our political system and says that this idea of having a two-party system is much like having 52 cards of the same three cards in them, which is sort of interesting.
You know, it also, I'm reminded, too, of pickpockets here. And there's a certain overlap here because you do see plenty of magicians, especially sleight-of-hand magicians, that are also skilled at least performance pickpocketing, if not actual pickpocketing. And like some simple pickpocketing techniques are as simple as, oh, I bump into you
right
while I actually take your wallet, because you're distracted by the bump to your shoulder. You don't feel the slight fabric movement of your wallet disappearing, that kind of thing. Or also, distraction by visuals. You know, you're handed a baby or here's a, you know, an attractive lady, that kind of thing.
You know, what's interesting about that is that their pickpocketing, I guess you could say, rules are predicated on the way that you actually approach the wallet.
Yeah.
And this was from an article by Jonah Lehrer in Wired. It's called Magic in the Brain. And apparently your eye tracks really well when it's on a sort of flat plane. So if you're if your hand is just reaching across in a horizontal line, then you're able to track it really easily. But if you do an arc like this, our machinery is pretty flawed in that sense, in that our brains, our eyes, aren't able to really read that motion.
Huh.
Isn't that interesting?
That is, and it also that ties into a lot of the flourishes that you see in magic and in these performance illusions, because people aren't just, I'm grabbing this orange and I'm going to grab that wand. No, there's a lot of flourishing and movements of the arm. It becomes difficult to track exactly what's going on.
We are gesticulating wildly now as we talk, by the way. Yeah. And
this
doing
is
these
one of those
movements.
Days where we need the camera in here.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
See the video.
But you're right. There's no linear movements. It's all sort of circular. All right, we're going to take a break. And when we get back, we're going to talk about this inherent blindness we have, whether or not we're looking at a face or we're making a choice on a particular, let's say, jam that we like.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. If you haven't heard of Visible, now you have. They're the wireless carrier that's making wireless visible. It's in the name. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 a month, every month. Taxes and fees included. Having a one-line plan means you only need you to save. No estranged roommates, exes, cousins twice removed, or AI-powered humanoid robots needed. And because $25 a month really means $25 a month, you can call, text, stream, whatever, as much as you want without worrying about getting dinged at the end of the month.
No hidden fees, no surprises. No, really. It's like the old saying goes, you can't judge a book by its cover, but you can judge a company by its name. So spread the word. Tell all your friends there's a wireless company out there with transparency in their name, and they're called Visible. Start saving on wireless today at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan for data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by eBay. eBay Motors is here for the ride. Remember when you first saw the potential? And then, through some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles in a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Look to your left. Look to your right. It's official. No one's got a ride like this. There's nothing else that sounds like, feels like, or looks like the set of wheels in your garage. With over 122 million parts, you can make sure your number one ride or die stays running smoothly, so there's no limit to how far you can take it. Brake kits, turbochargers, engines, exhaust kits, roof racks, LED headlights, bumpers, whatever your baby needs, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, well, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Top Thrill 2 is like no other course. Two 420-foot vertical speedways, three launches.
All right, let's talk strategy.
Copy that, driver. Go for maximum acceleration off the start.
Roger that.
You've got a short straightaway to push from 0 to 74 on the first vertical speedway.
And what about the rollback?
Rollback will set you up for an explosive reverse climb 420 feet in the sky so you reach 0 G's in total weightlessness.
420 feet of straight-up speed. Let's get it.
Top Thrill 2, the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch strata coaster. Get your tickets at cedarpoint.com.
Today's episode is brought to you by Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast. When you think about the future, what kind of technology do you envision? Whatever the future holds, artificial intelligence will undoubtedly be at the heart of it all. Join Graham Class as he hosts Season 2 of Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast from Ruby Studio in partnership with Intel. Explore the future of technology that's rapidly evolving our world today with the help of AI. There's still so much work and research needed to fully understand the power and potential of AI, and Intel is at the forefront of implementing AI in revolutionary technology that's changing the world we live in for the better. In each episode, Graham interviews the minds transforming medicine and healthcare, retail, entertainment, personal computing, and more while pioneering new uses for AI in these spaces. Tune in every other Tuesday and explore the latest technology that's changing our world today and creating a more accessible tomorrow. Listen to Technically Speaking, an Intel podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're back. So, we're going to talk about jam.
Yeah, we're going to talk about jam, preserves, jelly. I don't know what you call it, but jam in my house. And the reason I want to talk about it is because it was called out in this New York Times Science of Illusion article in one study where shoppers in a blind taste test had two different kinds of jam to pick from. Okay, so they can't see it, but they're just getting spoonfuls of it. They choose the one they like. They are then given a second taste from the jar they picked. Oh, they think they are getting a second taste of it. But the researchers actually switched the jam flavor. So they get a second spoonful, and it is not the one they like, but they fail to notice that they're tasting the wrong jam, even when the two flavors are like super dissimilar, like grapefruit and cinnamon apple. Because their brain has already created the narrative that this is the one I like, and we're going with this.
Yeah, there have been some really fascinating experiments along this line involving wine, where you bring people in and you really color someone's expectations of this wine by letting them know that, this is a fine vintage, this is a more expensive wine, and then this one is cheaper, and it's, you know, we've
this
got
this is the two-buck chuck.
Yeah, this is a two-buck chuck, and this is the, I don't know, fill in the blanks. What's a fancy wine?
Something.
Yeah, that one. So people end up going into that experiment. Their narrative is colored, like you say. They're already writing the story of their experience with that wine, and then they go in, and then they end up getting it wrong because it was swapped on them. I mean, this is the classic, we secretly swapped this person's coffee with Folgers Instant kind
right,
of thing.
Right.
And, but it works. That's the thing. So much of our experience of something is colored by our anticipation of it, what other people seem to be expecting of it. And then if you switch things around at the last minute, you can get a lot past a person.
Well, and there's this another thing called change blindness, which I thought was really, really cool. It is a study that shows how minor distractions can impair our ability to remember faces. Psychologist Daniel Simons had an experimenter stop random strangers on the street and ask for directions. And then midway through the conversation, a pair of Confederates, call them Confederates, walked between them and blocked the stranger's view. And the experimenter switched places with one of the stooges. So the person that asked directions was then replaced.
Yeah, I've seen the video of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we do a blog post to go with this podcast, I'll try and find that video and embed it for you so you can watch it right there.
Yeah, and it really is. It's great because, you know, it's just that split second, where distraction and then the stranger is talking to a completely different person. And most of the time, just like the jam experiment, they really didn't notice.
Yeah.
Which I can see that. I think that probably would happen to me before because your brain is occupied with other stuff.
Right.
But, again, this is what magicians are exploiting.
And doing it in a way that that you don't notice. I mean, that's the whole thing, is to the seamless incorporation of distraction and misdirection, so that at the end of it, you would have to really think back on the moments where you were tampered with.
Well, it also makes you think too, like how much stimuli we really can't take in.
Right.
That's entering, the light entering into our eyes and our brain trying to make sense of everything.
Yeah, and how much of it is the brain just filling in the gaps? Like, for instance, seeing the coin that isn't actually there, but it's just filling in the gaps because it can't actually assemble all of that information.
No, we would melt down if we tried to, right? It's almost like the when we were talking about camouflage and we were talking about Tom Harris's article and about this continuity in our brains taking those, you know, stack of blocks and saying, okay, that's one unit because they're all one color.
Yeah.
Okay, now there are two different colors or two different units. That's just the way our brains work. All right, so here's something really interesting, again, from the New York Times article. It's about transcranial magnetic stimulation. And this old TMS scrambler has shown up before in our podcast, notably as the God machine used by Michael Persinger, so-called because its ability to induce feelings of transcendence, but also has been the culprit behind some hallucinations. People imagine ghosts when...
Paranormal experiences, alien abductions, abductions rather.
Yeah, when their brains are basically futzed with this super magnet that is placed over their head and manipulates parts of their brains that create these hallucinations for them. And this is, we talked about this before, as a possible explanation again for abductions, alien abductions. And it turns out that some people have this high lability and low labilities in their brain. In other words, they're a little bit more sensitive to this magnet than other people are.
So are magicians using this magnet?
No.
To scramble the brains of audiences before they pick their pockets?
Yet. But it has been used to look at our attention span. So in other words, they've used this TMS over our parietal cortex. This is the part of the brain that controls attention. Mm-hmm. And they noticed that when they futz with it, of course, people have a harder time identifying faces and recalling things, which is, you know, not surprising. But again, here's something that magicians have known for thousands of years and have been doing these magic tricks, and that neuroscientists are now just really excited to investigate through magic. Sort of interesting.
And again, while magicians are not using magnets on people's brains, it is worth remembering that certainly if you go to a magic show in Vegas, there is there's a very good possibility that the individuals observing that magic show have had something to drink before it really gets going here.
True.
You're having environments where, you know, where wine and beverages are served. So you're already sort of, you're not pointing a magnetic ray gun at someone's head, but, well, in a sense you are. It's just it comes in a glass with a fancy little umbrella on it.
Well, your critical thinking abilities are probably a teeny bit impaired.
Yeah.
And, I mean, we talked about that lag in motion, right, with your eye and seeing those coin tricks. So we already know that when you have too much to drink, that your own ability
to
act is...
Or even a little to drink, you know?
Yeah. That is a little bit impaired as well. So
I mean, one drink is enough to... you don't see through the illusions of the world around you, much less what the guy is doing on the stage. You know?
Oh, man. That's nice. Yeah. Nicely done.
Well, wine does more than Milton can to justify God's ways to man.
So. Yeah.
But you had a quote you wanted to end it on, instead of me ending it with an unrelated quote.
Oh, no, I just thought Jim O'Leary in his article on Wired nailed it. He just said, the magician must sell people a lie, even as they know they are being lied to. Unless the illusion feels more real than the truth, there is no magic.
And we certainly want there to be magic.
All the time.
Yeah. So speaking of magic, let's haul the robot over here and
Carl.
Have him deliver us some magic in the form of listener mail. All right. We heard from a listener by the name of Gene. Gene wrote in about the horror episode, but also a little bit about Prometheus and stuff. He says, hey, guys, thanks for all the awesome podcasts. I work third shift pretty much by myself, so it's great that there are so many to listen to. You are always smart and funny. I love that. I rarely write in to anybody, but the horror podcast was just too good not to. I've been a lifelong horror fan, so a lot of what you talked about hit home. Seeing horror movie covers at the video store as a kid eat you in the bum ghoulies. which, by the way, I did a blog post where I talked about 10 different VHS covers that kind of messed with me as a kid and what I thought they may have done to me.
So, all inspired on, inspired by the Baum Ghoulies.
Yes, and inspired by our episode on horror.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, he continues. He says that he's on board with the idea that clowns are horrible. He says they don't scare me like they do my wife. My problem is with sad clowns and hobo clowns, which is interesting because those are the ones that I hold up as being... That's always my defense against anyone who's afraid of clowns. I'm like, well, the hobo clowns are great. How can you not like those? But he says they are images of sad, broken people, and that's supposed to be funny. It just doesn't sit right with me. So it's an interesting perspective. Anyway, he continues, for some reason, people-on-people horror bothers me in films. I'm sure there's a psychology paper on it somewhere out there. I prefer supernatural, monster, evil-based horror. And I tend to agree with that.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a different scenario. When you have a monster attacking somebody, that's as much an idea attacking somebody, or at the very least, something unreal.
Well, there's that benign violation theory, right?
Yeah.
So if you make it non-human, it becomes benign in a sense that it's probably not going to happen to you in real life.
Where people doing horrible things to people, that's a lot more agreeable. It's weird. I used to be different on this. I used to, my old response to this was, well, a person with a knife, I can run from a person with a knife. I can fight back against a person with a knife.
Mm-hmm.
But a ghost that kills people with its mind or something like that, if that were real, I wouldn't have as much of a defense about it. Interestingly enough, a friend that I saw Prometheus with, his wife didn't come because she is totally fine with like people-on-people violence in movies, but not supernatural or unbelievable like alien type things. So anyway, Gene goes on to share that he's also a fan of space horror. He mentions a few things that he digs. He said the Alien franchise, Event Horizon, which was fun back in high school, Pandorum, which I really enjoyed. I think a lot of people did not like it, but I thought it had some really cool science fiction ideas in it. And also Dennis Quaid. So, you know, sci-fi film with Dennis Quaid, I'm always on board for. And then he also said there was a Star Wars novel with zombies in it that he was into. So, and he also mentions the Dead Space video game series, which he holds up as really good space horror. And I've actually been toying with this game series recently, and I agree that it's really well done. Really well done game with a lot of scares in it. And some interesting science in places. All right, well, let's listen to one more listener mail here, and then we will call it a podcast.
Yeah.
All right, here's one from Eleanor. Eleanor writes in on our Science of Prometheus episode. She says, hi, Rob and Julia. I just found your podcast and love it. I have a question about the recent episode, The Science of Prometheus. You brought up the subject of panties. You talked about in detail about Ripley's panties in Alien, but you didn't discuss in detail Shaw's panties in Prometheus. I thought her quote-unquote panties looked more like a gauzy loincloth, something like Jesus wore on the cross. They weren't sexy at all, but her buff body was. What did you think of Shaw's panties?
Wow. What did I think of Shaw's panties? Well, okay, I agree. They did not sexualize her. And I think...
Any more than she was wearing panties and she was running around.
Yeah. I think I was so distracted by the blood on her from the scene where she performs her own C-section that, I didn't even think about it. Because my main thing was, hey, doesn't anybody notice she's covered in blood?
Yeah.
But I know that they were all wrapped up in the old dude. In that scene, so that's probably why they didn't. But anyway, these are all willing suspension of disbelief issues, but...
Yeah. I my thoughts are pretty much the same. I felt like, yes, she had underwear on, so you, a woman in her underwear in a movie, it's hard to say that it's not a sexually charged scene just because it's, you know, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
If it wasn't meant to be sexy, she wouldn't, in some way, or at least sexually provocative... She probably wouldn't be in her underwear, or same with him. He wouldn't be in his underwear if you weren't intended to toy with us in that way on some level. But that being said, you know, I didn't think there was anything overtly sexual about what she was wearing. And you could, it's an interesting commentary about the gauziness of it and the potential loincloth Christiness of it.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think that there's so many different ways you could read this, movie, and some people have certainly looked at the religious aspects, but that fits in nicely with some of the thematic stuff. So it's interesting that you picked that up.
We'll see what the next 30 years of academic papers on the topic to say about it. All right. Well, if you have something you want to share with us, if you want to talk about magic, if we have some magicians, some illusionists, some pickpockets out there, write in and let us know. We'd love to hear from you and, you know, what your thoughts on all of this happen to be. Or if you just have a particular magician that you like and you want to, you know, get their name out there, then write in and let us know. You can find us on Facebook, where we are Stuff to Blow Your Mind. And you can find us on Twitter, where our handle is Blow the Mind.
And you can always drop us a line at blowthemind@discovery.com.
Be sure to check out our new video podcast, Stuff from the Future. Join HowStuffWorks staff as we explore the most promising and perplexing possibilities of tomorrow.
Today's episode is brought to you by Visible. The future of wireless is here, and it's transparent. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 a month, every month, taxes and fees included. No hidden fees, no surprises, no, really.
What are you waiting for? Get with the times and switch to Visible at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Xfinity has free premium networks for everyone this month, no matter what kind of entertainment you love. Addicted to true crime? Catch killer cases and more spine-tingling shows on A&E Crime Central. Crave adventure? Explore Asian action movies on Hayah. Searching for something extreme? Check out skating, snowboarding, and more on Fuel TV Plus, the global home of action sports. And find crowd-pleasing bops on iHeartRadio's Hit Nation playlist. There's new free shows and movies to love every week. Say free this week in your Xfinity voice remote.